Thank you, Pastor Will. Thank you, worship team. And thank you, church, for gathering to receive God's word and gathering for worship here this weekend. My name is Pastor Chet, and the pastor of student ministries here at Vernon Alliance. And I am really excited to bring God's word to us on Sabbath here this weekend. I've chosen this spot because so often in Scripture, water is used as the imagery of God's refreshment and healing and presence in our life. He is a water that we partake of and afterwards never go thirsty. He leads us beside still waters. He refreshes us by waters. As we are planted by the streams of waters, we grow up strong. And Sabbath is this discipline by which I believe we are refreshed and by which we grow. Dwayne introduced for us last week that we're beginning a new series, Inward, Outward, Upward. And we're first focusing on the inward life. What are the disciplines that grow us inwardly, that strengthen us in our inward life? And Sabbath is one such discipline. And I'm excited to share with you what God has impressed upon me as I have studied His Word. And I just want to read for you to start off the passage that we will be teaching from. It is from Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25. And it says this: At this time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The word of the Lord. And we say together, thanks be to God. Let's pray as we prepare our hearts to receive God's word to us. Father, thank you for your incredible mercy and for the way that you are revealed through Scripture and for the way that you are revealed through your Holy Spirit's work in us. I invite now your anointing as I prepare as a minister of your gospel to preach your good news. And I pray that in each of us, your Holy Spirit would be alive and active, interceding and at work to reveal your truth. To reveal your truth of your gospel generally to us, but also specifically to each individual. Father, we invite your presence and your spirit now as we prepare to hear the word and apply it in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember from a few years back those Snickers commercials where there was someone that was hangry, that's hungry and angry, and they're all kind of agitated, and then someone says, here, have a Snickers, and immediately they calm down? Well, I've noticed in myself recently that 2020 has taken a little bit of a toll, and I'm a little bit on edge, maybe not as quite as patient as I should be. And I've been looking around, and I've been seeing a little bit of that in the same in others. And I'm wondering, as a whole society right now, if we could just use a Snickers. Because 2020 hasn't been easy. But I think more than likely what we need is not just a Snickers. I think what we need is, in fact, a Sabbath. Because even though we can joke about that, we know that the needs and demands and costs of 2020 have been high. That there has been a toll taken in the events and in the challenges of our world. We know that even as a church family, in our transition, that has left us a little exhausted and a little bit tired. And so in this way, we uniquely as Vernon Alliance, but generally as the church, need a Sabbath. And I've been wondering what would happen if we applied ourselves to the discipline of Sabbath. How would it change our lives? How would it change our church? How would it change our families? How would it change our community? And I would love to participate in that experiment, because I believe, based on what I have learned, that if we apply this discipline, the impact will be transformative. That we will see Christ more clearly. That we will experience His rest more fully. And not only that, but we would be a beacon of it, inviting others into it. And if it's what we need, we know it's what others need. I know it's what I need. I know that I'm not great at applying Sabbath. I'll just confess that to you, because I've needed to confess it to the Lord. I have been quite lousy at applying Sabbath in my life. And I know I need a Sabbath. I know I need rest. I know I need a day where I bring all my worries, all the things that I believe are within my control that are actually outside of my control. I need to give them back to God. I need to come back under His authority, back under His care. I need to be reminded of the salvation that Christ has accomplished on my behalf, and that it's not my doing, it's not my striving, it's not my efforts by which I earn His grace or favor or blessing, but it is only through Jesus. I know that I need a Sabbath. I know that I need rest. And so I've asked myself three questions as I've studied Sabbath. What exactly is Sabbath? Why is Sabbath important? And how do we apply it? First question, what is Sabbath? Well, to answer that, we got to go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. And this is part of the creation narrative. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. This is our foundation for Sabbath. This is why we have Sabbath, because on the seventh day, God rested from His work of creating. All that He had made was complete. It was perfect, and He blessed it and called it holy, because all that was in it was in perfect relationship with Him, which included us. And so Sabbath, what it does is, to answer what is Sabbath, Sabbath is this holy day. It is this day where God rested and this day where all things were in perfect relationship with Him. What we also know is that Sabbath was part of the Jewish law. After sin had entered the world and God was working with the Jewish people to be a beacon of light and blessing, He gave them the Jewish law. And as part of that Jewish law, He gave 10 commandments. And keeping the Sabbath day holy was one of those commands. And so the answer to the question, what is Sabbath? Well, it is part of Jewish law. We also see Sabbath show up in the New Testament. As a Jew, Jesus observed Sabbath. But then He went on to say that He is in fact Lord of the Sabbath. And that we see later on that He is in fact our Sabbath rest. And in this way, the Christian Sabbath was not on Saturday, which was the day of the traditional Jewish Sabbath, the last day of the week, but we adopted Sunday as our Sabbath, the day of Christ's resurrection. And so in that way, what Sabbath is in the Christian sense, it is the day where we celebrate Christ's completed work on the cross, His life, death, and resurrection. Now for us, what is it today? What is it in light of our culture? What is it in light of our schedules? What is it in light of the fact that we are primarily online with our church services? Well, if I was to synthesize what we see of Sabbath beginning in Genesis, throughout Scripture, throughout church history, and into this present moment, how I would define Sabbath is this. Sabbath is a spiritual discipline. And a spiritual discipline is a habit or practice that we find in Scripture that promotes spiritual health. So Sabbath then is a habit or a discipline that we find in Scripture that promotes spiritual health and growth. That is what Sabbath is. Now let's talk about the why. Why Sabbath? Well, I think for most of us, if we were just asked why Sabbath, I know for myself, up until I began to study and unpack this, I would have answered it with the answer rest. Why do we have Sabbath? To rest. But in fact, that is not the why. It is an important benefit of Sabbath. Ceasing work is an important discipline of Sabbath. But the why of Sabbath is something different. The why of Sabbath is not focused on us, but focused on God. And in that way, the why of Sabbath is more so about worship than it is about our ceasing from work. It is more so about relationship with God than rest. The why of Sabbath, I believe, is twofold. It is to remind and reaffirm the truth of who God is, and to remind and reaffirm where our true rest is found. The discipline of Sabbath, the spiritual discipline of Sabbath, accomplishes these two things. It reminds us of who God is, and it reminds us of where our where true rest is found. And I want to unpack both of those with you. In our text, you will see that Jesus addresses those who are weary and burdened. That is the audience to whom he is speaking. He is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Well, why were they weary and burdened? Ironically, they were weary and burdened because they had begun to apply the discipline of Sabbath in such a way that it no longer served its purpose. It no longer served its why. What had happened, and probably with quite good intention, was the religious leaders, when they were given the command to keep the Sabbath day holy, they began to unpack, well, what constitutes work? If we are to not work on the Sabbath, what does and doesn't count as work? And what they ended up was with a long, long list of rules around Sabbath, about what could and couldn't be done. And this resulted in a burden. Sabbath became not about relationship, but about the burden of religion. And in this way, God was no longer being revealed, and the true rest found in God was no longer being found. And so Jesus comes on the scene to correct this, to remind us of what Sabbath is, to bring us back to the why. In verse 27, he says this, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What Jesus is making clear is that he and the Father are one. What Jesus is making clear is that when he invites us to come to him, that he is inviting us to come to God to find our rest. What Jesus is making clear is that he is saying, if you see me, you see the Father. What Jesus is doing is he is reminding us that Sabbath is about, again, about reaffirming who God is, seeing him clearly, and rediscovering where our true rest is found. That is what Jesus is drawing us back to in this passage, as he reminds us of the why of Sabbath. And you might say, well, Chet, if they were weary and heavy burdened because of the religious weight, that's not applicable to me. I mean, I don't observe Jewish Sabbath. Well, I don't think the reason for the weariness and the burden is as important as the fact that we find ourselves weary and burdened. While for them it may have been the religious weight, what is it for us today that has left us weary and burdened, that has distracted us from who God is and distracted us from where our true rest is found? Regardless of the reason why we became weary or burdened, the remedy remains the same, and that is a Sabbath. And that is why Sabbath remains relevant and important to us even now. So let's look at the first why. The first why is to reveal the truth of who God is, to see him clearly. Well, this why is served by the discipline of Sabbath. The discipline of Sabbath is to cease work. And I believe that in our ceasing, what it does is it repostures ourselves. And when we move into a different posture, we see things differently. And this is exactly the point that Jesus is making in verses 25 to 26. He says this, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. For a while, I was frustrated by this passage. I was frustrated by the fact that it says that you have hidden these things. I'm like, God, why hide it? Why make it harder? And I was kind of confused because I'm like, aren't you in the business of revealing yourself? Why then hide? Well, here's the thing. It's not that he's hidden. It's that he is hidden in plain sight by a difference in posture. See, the wise and learned are looking at God from a different vantage point than the children. And therefore, they see who he is very differently. The wise and learned look with ego and arrogance. They're unwilling to release control. But the children come to him. They trust him. They are willing to come under his authority. And therefore, what they see is a God who is loving. What they see is the God of creation, who is over all things and in control of all things, a God who they can trust, a God who is sovereign. What is so neat is that this purpose of revealing the Father through Sabbath is affirmed and is consistent throughout Scripture. Here's what I mean. In Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments are given. And one of the Ten Commandments, as I mentioned, is keeping the Sabbath. And one of the interesting things that I learned in my study is that Sabbath is the only commandment that comes with a why. But what's really interesting is that the why given in Exodus 20 is different from the why given in Deuteronomy when the Ten Commandments are restated. And both of those whys apply to the whys we're talking about when it comes to Sabbath. Let's look first at Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor your foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. In this passage, the why of Sabbath is rooted in the creation narrative. In the creation narrative that says exactly who God is, that he is the God that is over all things, that is in control of all things, that is our Father, that is our Maker, that is our Redeemer, that is our Defender. And again, I think what this reaffirms is that the Sabbath day, the why, is to reveal accurately who God is. It is an opportunity, the discipline is an opportunity for us to reposture ourselves to see who God is. I think a good illustration of this is when I lay on my parents' couch. Sounds strange. But when I come to my parents' place and I flake out on their couch, there is something about that posture that promotes rest. Now, I'm an adult. I have my own house. I have my own couch. But there is still something about coming under their care, flaking out on their couch and posturing myself to receive their care, to receive their attention, to receive their love. And I think in many ways, Sabbath is an opportunity for us to reposture ourselves in that same way. For all the ways that we have maybe begun to try to do things on our own, to come to this day to reposture ourselves as children and recognize who God is accurately, to come under his care and under his authority. So that's the first why, to see God clearly. The second why is to recognize where our true rest comes from. And again, the discipline of Sabbath serves the why. See, the discipline of Sabbath is a ceasing. It is a stopping. It is a putting down of what we are doing. And that is what we see in Matthew 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For a verse that is all about rest, there is a lot of activity. There is an invitation for us to come. There's an invitation for us to take his yoke and then to learn from him. This is the beauty of the discipline of Sabbath, is that it is an opportunity for us to reaffirm where our true rest comes from. Throughout the week, we get so busy doing so many things, and I think we can begin to believe the lies around us, the lies around where our rest comes from, that it is going to come from our doing, that it is going to come from our achieving, that it is going to come from what we buy, from our progress, from our success, from our wealth. And Sabbath, the discipline of Sabbath, is this incredible opportunity to come to Christ, drop all of that, and recognize that he is our true source of rest. That rest is only found in walking in obedience with him. And that is what the imagery of the yoke does for us, is that is imagery of obediently walking with Christ. Take my yoke. Yoke was an instrument of agriculture where there was two ox that worked together. And Jesus is saying, step into my yoke. Move with me. Walk with me. Let's do the work of life together. The yoke was also used to articulate the relationship between a rabbi and a disciple. That a disciple would come into the yoke of the rabbi to learn life, to do as they did, to learn from them. And that is what Jesus invites us again into, to learn from him where our true rest comes, to become decoupled from all the lies that would lead us away from that and instead listen to the single truth that Christ is our Sabbath rest. Now we looked at the passage from Exodus 20 where the Ten Commandments are given. Now I want to look at Deuteronomy 5. Where the list of Ten Commandments are given again, but a different why is articulated. Beginning in verse 12 of chapter 5, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do." That part's the same. "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." The why is that we would remember who is our rescuer. Who is it that provides true rest? To remember that before his deliverance, we were slaves. And for the Jewish people, they were looking back on their delivery from Egypt, their exodus from Egypt and their delivery from Pharaoh and the slavery that they were under there. But we know for us as Christians that there was a deeper slavery, that we were slaves to sin, that we were in captivity, and that in that captivity there would be no rest. And it is only in the redeeming work of Christ, only through his life and death and resurrection, by which we now enter true rest, Sabbath rest, rest for our souls, where he gives us by faith right relationship with God, where he restores the right relationship that existed in creation, and again, through Christ, makes us holy so that we might enjoy him and enjoy the rest that he provides, so that we might step into the rest that exists in the Godhead. He invites us into that. It is a deep and profound rest, a rest that only he can provide. And Sabbath, the discipline of Sabbath, is an opportunity to be reminded that that rest is only possible in Christ. And so this is the why. The why is to see clearly who he is, to see that he is our God, that he, that we are under his care, to see him as our Father and to see him as the Lord of all creation. The why is to see that it is only through Christ that we find our true rest. Now, how do we apply this in our lives? I will admit that applying the Sabbath can be somewhat of a challenge. It is difficult for me to be too prescriptive. And so I want to give some general guidance, but I also want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit how he would have you respond to the why, given what we know now. So the general guideline I'm going to give is this: stop, look, and listen. This is from the old adage when we're teaching kids how to cross the street. You stop, look, and listen. But I want to apply it to Sabbath. Why? Because when it comes to Sabbath, when it comes to the discipline of Sabbath, stopping is required. That's part of the discipline. And the discipline serves the why. The discipline then helps us look. To look and see who our God is, accurately and in truth. To look and see where our rest comes from, true rest. And then as we enter into relationship with God, to then listen to his voice. Now that we have entered into his stillness, to hear what he has to say to us. Stop, look, and listen. It's not overly prescriptive, but it is how I believe we can apply Sabbath, the discipline of Sabbath in our life. And so, church, let's pray now as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance for how he's inviting us each to apply this in our life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you are our God, that you are over all things, that you are sovereign over all things, that you care for us, that you are attending to our needs, that we are not missed, that we are not unseen, but we are held by you, our Father God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has brought us into your rest, who enables us to be bonded with you in the peace and the joy and the love that is only possible through you and that only exists in the Godhead. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal to each of us how you would have us apply this discipline of Sabbath. I pray that in our application, that we would not fall victim to the tendency to let the rules or the application become a burden or a hindrance or a distraction from its purpose. And so in this way, may we experience freedom as we apply it. May we experience your refreshment as we apply it. And may we find joy in committing to this discipline. Father, as we do so, I pray that our lives would be transformed, that our homes would be transformed, and that our communities would be transformed as we enter your rest and live out of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.